Welcome, Lund Loyalists, to John Lund Unleashed. Those watching on YouTube, on the John Lund Unleashed and Bay Area Sports Collective channels. Viewers on X, Instagram, LinkedIn, and Facebook, and Lundos listening to the podcast on Apple and Spotify. John Lund Unleashed, brought to you by Reappell Sports Medicine. Got pain? Check out our revolutionary stem cell treatments. And guys, if low T is bringing you down, Reappell Sports Medicine can put you back in the game. Now all juiced up and ready to go, here's John.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. It is a Wednesday, hump day. Got the show coming this morning. Let's do that real quick. Look how fancy that is. Do or die, do or die. Steph Curry is officially out for Game 5. There's me. I'm dumbfounded by all of it. Thank you so much for joining us on a hump day edition. It is May 14th. Thank you so much for making the time. We know you got a lot of choices, a lot of stuff, a lot of platforms, a lot of things to watch, listen to, etc. Thanks for making time for the show. It is John Lund Unleashed, johnlundunleashed.com. Make sure you check out the website. We put all sorts of things on there. Blog, which I'm finishing up, dot and I's, cross and T's, because I don't know that the Warriors are going to win tonight, so we'll talk about the offseason. We'll do that another day, but they have one more chance. And I was on ESPN Radio. I was on Game Night last night, and they were asking me some interesting questions. I just love the national perspective on things, so I'll give you a little insight into some of the questions that they were asking me. But thanks for joining us. If you are new here, maybe you're watching on X or LinkedIn or Facebook or Twitch or Instagram, one of those places. If you would migrate over to John Lund Unleashed on YouTube, that would be outstanding. We have built a great community over here. Everybody's a lot of fun. You don't have to agree with everybody, but it's not snarky or negative or anything like that. We just have a bunch of fun, and we put sports in their proper perspective, even though we're really passionate about it. Everybody's not freaking out, and it's a safe zone for everybody. So have your opinion, have some fun, hang out with us there at John Lund Radio on YouTube. If you would please subscribe, tell all your friends and enemies about it as well and how much you enjoy it. Please hit that like button right now so that the algorithm will say this isn't half bad, and make sure you have your alerts on because it's NFL schedule day. So when it all comes out, we can play the win-loss game. Win-loss, win-loss, win-loss. We're going to be really busy today. So we've got the 8 a.m. or so Pacific time show that we always do Monday through Friday and 10 a.m.-ish on Saturdays. But also we do Warriors postgame tonight. Maybe it's going to be the last Warriors postgame of the season. We got a lot to talk about there, but also on schedule release day, we do this thing I used to do on the radio every single year, and Papa would look at me like, we're doing this again. But then he came to embrace it. The win-loss game, WL, 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 WL. And yesterday I said it was green and red. What it is it's red and yellow. So I think I did yellow for L's and W's for wins as far as the 49ers are concerned. So we'll play the world-famous win-loss game today for the 49ers, and everybody's coming out with their projections and everything like that. So we'll do that today. We'll do roll call momentarily. Thanks again for joining us. By the way, Bay Area Sports Collective as well, so you can see and watch Polymax Particles with Creative Tony and Polymac, Tom Tolbert and Rod Brooks, and there will be more. So make sure that you subscribe and turn your alerts on at Bay Area Sports Collective on YouTube as well. It is episode 140, no Steph Curry. As we said, we found out that yesterday. It is official. He will not play tonight. Will this be Jonathan Kuminga's last game? Like I said, I was asked on ESPN Radio about that. I'll discuss, and I was surprised a little bit by their reaction to this whole thing. One last stand. Will the Warriors kind of bow their chests out a little bit and say, we have championship DNA? We're not going out like this. The Giannis rumors are growing louder. I just don't know how the Warriors would pull this thing off. The Cavs, I got something for you from Donovan Mitchell. And this was the exact scenario I told you about, that they would just flame out early in the playoffs. And then I don't know how it would happen, but LeBron goes back for one last ride in Cleveland. Luka doesn't want him in L.A. anyway, and they're going to build the team around him. And he rides off into the sunset, having played one last season, getting all the accolades in Cleveland. That could happen, although I don't know how. Pete Rose's reaction to me, look, it was a lifetime ban. He's dead. It's lifted. There's one writer in, specifically that I just cannot stand, who's got a stupid thought on this whole thing. And I shouldn't say stupid, because people say stupid stuff all the time to get ratings and clicks and all those kind of things. That's the media that we're in nowadays. The Giants win. Christian Kloss, congratulations on your first home run. It was a big one. It was a grand slam. Also, Jung-Hoo Lee on Korean Heritage Night hits a big fly as well. And Robbie Ray continues to roll. Pitching depth on the Giants, I will get to, and maybe that could lead to a trade. NFL schedule release day. As we said, the Raiders, I guess it's the Madden doc, not so much the Raiders doc. Sweet, clean, family-friendly Caboose Pistol, kind of funny, something for you, and random things always happen throughout the show, so you got to hang out the entire time because my ADD goes crazy, and I try to stay on track, but sometimes it just doesn't work. So good morning to everybody. It is great, 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 great. By the way, somebody's going to challenge Skills on Dreams. Good morning, James. It's good to see you. Skills, I owe you one. You hit me up and said, hey, man, you missed one of my supers. I hate when I do that. So Skills, I owe you one or maybe two. Maybe I should pay you back like two, three, so whatever it is. But throw it away. I mean, go, as far as like dreams and everything, just pop it on there, man. You don't have to do any supers today because I owe you one, at least one. So let's do that. Naomi, it is good to see you. I normally call her Catalina, but it is great. Oh, I like this, man. And I like caps too. Hi, how you tripping? Where you at? I'm right here, man. It's what is today? Wednesday on a hump day. Dom, it is great to see you, my friend. Always great to see you. Christian, nice to see you. Daniel from lovely Sacramento is in the building. Kyle, it is nice to see you. The 1420. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning to you. Who else do we have this morning? We got a lot of people in the room today. It is awesome to see everybody. Fozzie, it is great to see you. Dubs in seven. Look, I love optimism, man. I hope you're right. Look, I like doing post games. I like talking about the playoffs. You sit through 82 games in the NBA. Nobody generally cares about it. Everybody's just doing it for the finances. And then you get to the playoffs and you get to have a little bit of fun. And if you're a Warriors fan, you're kind of spoiled because it's either championship or bust. That's just the way it is until Steph and Steve and everybody and Draymond leaves. That's just how it's going to be. And then we'll reset our expectations because they weren't very high before, but ever since they showed that what this team can be, you just can't undo it. And so there's high expectations, and you hope as a Warriors fan that they do show championship DNA. So let's get into everything. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning to everyone. Again, make sure that you are subscribed to the channel, John Lund Unleash on YouTube. You got those alerts on, keep those thumbs up as well. Also, I want to tell you this morning, before we get diving into anything, our good friends at Riopelle Sports Medicine, R-I-O-P-E-L-L-E, Riopelle Sports Medicine. My wife, if you click on that QR code right there, you go straight to the website. And it is always great to support our sponsors here because it's great that they do what they do as we're growing the channel. But she's using the stem cell, and I can't even believe, like last night it was funny. And by the way, you can look this up. You can Google it as well. Jeffrey Riopelle, San Ramon, California. And they do all sorts of other procedures beyond the things that I talk about every single day. So click on that QR code right there for Riopelle Sports Medicine. And they do an awesome job. And even before, like I said, they were sponsored. We've been customers at Riopelle for years and years and years. But it was funny. My wife was laying on the couch. And normally, as I tell you, we have this in the garage. We have the beer fridge that I'm always pulling beers from to chug beers on the show. But also we have a small like square freezer in there, and she just has tons of different things and wraps and contraptions and everything for her shoulder and her elbow and all these different ailments that she has. And I was looking at her last night because I said this on the show. I was looking at her because normally we're watching TV and she's got like heat here and a cold pack here and everything. She doesn't have any of that anymore. And I'm like, that stuff really does work. I'm like, you know, it's funny because when I was on the radio for years and years and years and years and years, salespeople would come to you and go, will you endorse this? We endorse this. We endorse this. We endorse this. And it's like, look, you don't even have to ask me anymore. It's just, I'm sitting here, so I might as well make money. I mean, that was always my philosophy. But then you get on your own and do your own things, and you want to make sure that it's people that have products that you really believe in. And I'm being honest when I say this, she doesn't have to ice anymore. She doesn't have to do any of that kind of stuff. It just sits in that freezer now. And she constantly was icing. In fact, we had to buy the freezer, the separate freezer, because she would put it in our freezer by our food. And so she had all these wraps and everything. And I had to, like, I'm trying to cook dinner and I'm pulling stuff out of the freezer. It's like, could you move these wraps somewhere? Like, she had a boatload of them. I'm not kidding you, like 20 of them. And they're constantly in the way. So we had to buy a freezer. That's how bad it was. And she just doesn't have to do any of that anymore. And it's because of the stem cell treatments with Dr. Riopelle right there in San Ramon. So if you're having pain in any part of your body, you need to click on that QR code and see my friend, Dr. Jeffrey Riopelle in San Ramon. It works wonders. And I'm not just saying that. Like I said, I could, you know, I endorse lots of things throughout the years, but I believe in Dr. Riopelle. And like I said, the low T, if you're not feeling like yourself, that's what I do. If you're not feeling like yourself, hard losing weight, metabolism slowing down, whatever the case may be, energy is lacking. It's so easy to go in there, quick blood test, And then about every 4 months you do this for your testosterone and you feel great. You have your energy back. You just feel like yourself. So I'm doing the low T. It's every 3-4 months you do it. It makes it really, really easy. My wife's doing all the stem cell treatments. And Dr. Rhea Pell was one of the first to do stem cell treatments in California. So you're saying to yourself, okay, that's probably good enough for me. So that is Dr. Jeffrey Rhea Pell in San Ramon. And you can click on that QR code right there, or you can just simply Google it, look it up with your favorite search engine, Dr. Jeffrey Rhea Pell, R-I-O-P-E-L-L-E, Dr. Jeffrey Rhea Pell in San Ramon. And yes, it is worth the drive. All right, let's get to it in episode 140. Yesterday, as you can see on the screen there, Steph Curry will be donning some sort of an outfit, but it is not going to be Warriors colors tonight. Certainly will not be his 30 and that. So the Warriors, if they are going to survive, and Shams Charania said this days ago, that the Warriors were going to have to survive without Steph Curry in game 5, maybe game 6. But the disadvantage here, and you and I have talked about it, is that Steph Curry has never had this kind of an injury. And this is not an injury that you can cover up or shoot or pain tolerance or anything like that. This is a hamstring injury, which a muscle injury. Steph Curry has never gone through one of these things in his career, so it's new for him. It's not great. And as great as Steph is, has been, et cetera, et cetera, he's 37, so there's going to be a slow process. And then the last part of this whole thing, and I've done some back and forth with some people within the organization, they're not pushing Steph Curry, man. They're just not. They're not going to do it. Far too much respect. And they wouldn't do this with any player, but especially Steph Curry. He's meant too much to the organization. They're not going to run to Steph Curry and say, please save our season and plan a bad hammy. It's not going to happen. In fact, the opposite is happening. They're saying to Steph, look, if you don't feel great by game 6, don't play. If somehow we force a game 7, don't play. Like, they're not going to force Steph Curry to try to save the season. It's just not going to happen. So, I don't know that he would even play in a game 6 because you'd have to save him from himself. But Rick Celebrini is not going to, you know, a doctor and that whole staff is not going to put their reputation on the line that they've built for years and years and years and years and years so that Steph Curry can go out there and rip a hamstring it completely and then have to rehab that thing the entire offseason. That's just not how the Warriors operate. So there is no Curry tonight. JK's last game, it was the second thing that popped into my mind tonight that I think, and I was talking about this, like I said, nationally on ESPN radio last night, and they seemed rather surprised by what I said, which was, well, after the season, I kind of matter-of-factly said it, like I've said it to you many times. Well, Jonathan Kuminga is going to be gone next year. They're going to trade him for a stretch big. And they're like, oh, what? You know, I was like, yeah, I mean, I'm not trying to be Kendrick Perkins here. It's what I said. I said, I'm not trying to be Kendrick Perkins here. This is just a fact that they need size. If you watch the series at all, you watch Houston, you watch Minnesota, you look at the rest of the Western Conference, they need size. And it's not going to come from Quentin Post. And one of the reasons why Draymond Green is just completely gassed is that he's got to play 5, and that's not really what Draymond Green wants to do. So moving forward, they've already made the decision what they're going to do because they gave Jimmy the extension. And they're already in the tax again. And so Joe Lacob now has both feet in the water. He's diving in. And now he's like, okay, now that I'm in, I might as well just be all in. And that means in the offseason. And you may not like the trade because we're doing a post game the other night. And I was talking about Miles Turner and somebody popped up. Well, how are they getting Miles Turner? Well, he's a free agent, but it was a great point, which is I'm thinking to myself, okay, wait a minute. I'm Miles Turner. Let's just use some logic. Now, look, it's not always logical. And I understand that. But he's in Indiana. He's been there his entire career. Now, maybe he wants to go somewhere else. I don't know. But he's been there his entire career. They'll go into the Eastern Conference Finals for the second consecutive year. They're probably going to lose to the Knicks like last year they lost to the Celtics. But still, I wouldn't put it past them. They just smoked Cleveland. And Cleveland had an amazing season. So I wouldn't put it past them. They've had that good of a playoff run so far. In fact, statistically, the Pacers have been the best team in the playoffs on either in either conference. So could they beat the Knicks? Yeah, I think the Knicks will win because from a matchup standpoint. But, okay, the Pacers could win. My point is that they're a good basketball team, and they're not going anywhere. Tyrese Halliburton and a bunch of – they've got a bunch of young guys on that team. And if I'm Miles Turner, I'm thinking, wait a minute. I'm in the Eastern Conference, which is the easier conference. I'm on a good team. We've gone to 2 straight Eastern Conference finals, and you're telling me I want to go to Golden State for what? He can get more money, more years. Everything is in his favor if he stays in Indiana. So – I don't know that they can get Miles Turner, and I don't think they have the horses in terms of trade value to get him. You know, Jonathan Kuminga, we all think he can be a really good player, but the rest of the NBA, I'm not so sure. So I don't know. And Indiana's got those kind of players, that size player on their team. So it doesn't really make a whole lot of sense for them for Jonathan Kuminga, right? Who else can Kuminga get you? Naz Reid's a free agent. He's not an exact fit because he's not a defender, but he'll give you the stretch three element to things, but he's better off the bench, not really so much as a starter. Bobby Portis is out there. Lauri Markkanen's name is going to be thrown out again. So Miles Turner, to me, by far, is the thing that makes the most sense as far as trading Jonathan Kuminga. Now, having said that, and I'm going to get back to one last stand in just a second. Having said that, I'm just talking about the offseason, and these are the sexy stories of the day. More Giannis rumors. These are just going to keep happening. Evan Sitteris from Wall Street Journal and covers the NBA. Giannis was notably one of the non-Warriors in attendance for Steph Curry's private event in San Francisco during All-Star weekend. This is from Sam Amick. Giannis and Steph, it should be noted, are both represented by the same Octagon agency. Still, it was a Warriors-centric event. One notable, very large exception, Giannis has long been a considered dream target for the Warriors. I know this is going to be talked about in the offseason. I don't mean to put cold water on a hot story, but I'm thinking to myself, all right, same thing as I've been talking about. I'm Milwaukee and I want to jumpstart. Okay, fine. Giannis is gone. We're going to restart. Who are you going to restart with? Jonathan Kuminga and picks? I mean, the Warriors don't have a ton of picks anyway, but okay, they don't have their first pick, first rounder this year. So what do the Bucks think of Jonathan Kuminga? I don't know. I mean, like I said, and I know we see these stretches from Jonathan Kuminga where he's really, really good. He's inconsistent. He can be hard to coach. There are issues with Jonathan Kuminga behind the scenes. Like, he's having a great series. I think it's malpractice the way the Warriors have used him, but he is culpable for a lot of this as well from the way that he's acted. Believe me, behind the scenes, a lot of people know it. So I don't see that. Plus, you got to make salaries match. So you're going to trade 35-year-old Jimmy Butler? I mean, that's what makes the most sense, because Giannis is not a stretch. You know, obviously he's going to be working in the mid-range to close to the basket, and that's where Jimmy Butler likes to play. So you got to move Butler, but he's 35. So what are the Bucks going to do there? Take Butler, then move Butler again? Well, Butler doesn't have the greatest reputation exactly after what he pulled in Miami, so I don't know what his trade value necessarily is, Jimmy Butler. So it just sounds way too complicated, even though there is exactly what I just popped on the board, that he has been their dream target for a long time, and there is a relationship there with the agents and everything like that. But at the end of the day, the Bucks got to get something. Giannis has got to want to go somewhere. Now, here's the fly in the ointment to my logic. He may just say, I want to go to the Warriors, so let's work something out. Because a lot of times, more and more and more and more and more in sports, the player has the power. So if he wants to go somewhere, a lot of times that's where the player ends up. So maybe he wants to end up with the Warriors and he backs the Bucks into a corner. That's very possible. But from a logic standpoint, as I said yesterday, the Spurs getting the second choice, they don't need another young player. They got a bunch of young players. And so I could see the Spurs getting into the Giannis sweepstakes and the Bucks saying, hell yeah, I want those young players. I want the second pick in the draft. I want the 14th pick in the draft. They've got a lot of assets to the Spurs. And I could see a Giannis going, yeah, I want to go to Texas where there's no state income tax. I want to go to Texas where there's Victor Wembanyama and there's De'Aaron Fox. Like, that makes a lot of sense. And Greg Popovich is still in the front office, so there's respect there with San Antonio. So it seems to me that there are a lot better situations that make a heck of a lot more sense than the Warriors. That's been the case before. And then the player says, I want to play here, make it work. And that's kind of how things work nowadays, because players have the power. That's just how the things work. So maybe Giannis does want to be here. It's long been rumored. You just saw what I just popped up there about he and Steph having the same agents and all these kind of things. So I'm not going to crush it. I'm not going to kill it. I'm not going to throw cold water on it. But what I am going to say is it's highly unlikely to me, because Giannis could have better situations. And he knows this is what's the problem with the Warriors too is, all right, let me go join this team that has 37-year-old Steph and 35-year-old Draymond, and they're on their last legs. And if I'm the Warriors, I want to make this work not only for now, but Giannis is 30. So he could be a guy who in the next 5 years, Steph leaves and he can be your building block. He can be the bridge to the future at the age of 30. That whole thing that you were trying to do with Kuminga and James Wiseman and Jordan Poole and play the two ways, Giannis is only 30. So Steph leaves in 2 years, Giannis is 32. He's still playing really good basketball and you can build around him. So that would be a dream scenario for the Warriors. I find it hard to believe that the best deal out there is something that the Warriors could offer the Bucks. But then again, the teams don't always have the power anymore, and the players do. So we shall see as far as that goes. But again, that is off-season talk. So one last stand, and what that means is, and I want to ask you this. What do you think tonight? Is this it? Steph Curry is not going to play tonight. I was looking at numbers just across the board, and I don't want to bore you with them. But I was looking from anything from your basic numbers, team numbers. I'm talking about with the Warriors, you know, shooting percentages, defense, turnovers, you know, effective field goal percentage, from the real simple stuff, points per game, all the way into defensive and offensive efficiencies. And everything. I was just looking at just all the numbers to just kind of get a gauge of the Warriors in these first two rounds. And you know what I found out, and you probably already know this, but I'm just going to tell you. You know, there's 16 teams in the playoffs. The Warriors really rank in a lot of these numbers, most of these numbers, from like 11 to 15 in that range for everything. They haven't played really well in the playoffs, to be honest. Steph Curry's injury obviously has a large effect on that, but they're middle of the pack as far as defense. They're near the bottom as far as rebounding, second chance points, turnovers, turnover percentage, like all these different things, effective field goal percentage. They're playing decent defense, not great defense. You know, they're just okay. And so for them to be sitting in this position, because what I was trying to find was themes where I could come on the show today and say, well, they're doing this really, really well. And if they can do that, they can win. Their chances to win this series, and I'm a betting man. I like to throw a few bucks here and there when you get good odds, especially. Their odds right now to win this series are 16-1. So you can jump out right now and throw down $100 and you can win $1,600 in the Warriors. And that's not the usual case with the Warriors. They don't usually have great odds, but I threw down $100 just for the heck of it. And then, so afterwards I was thinking, okay, I want to go on the show tomorrow and I want to find something that I can hang my hat on to say, but they're doing this really, really well. And I couldn't find it. They're not shooting it very well. You know, just from a statistical standpoint, they're not playing great defense. It's middle of the pack. They're not rebounding well. They're giving up a lot of second chance points. They're turning the ball over at a pretty high rate. They're shooting it okay. They're not shooting it great from three, just okay. I mean, like I said, it's everything from the middle of the pack to like 13, 14, 15. They're just not doing anything great. I wanted to hang my hat on something and say, man, they're doing this or they're doing that or they're doing this or they're doing that. And then just from a standpoint of, you know, watching the damn game, which I'm a big fan of, who's playing great? Who's playing really, really great for the Warriors? Jonathan Kuminga, who they took from the cobwebs. And so I don't give him credit, and I keep saying this, that it's malpractice. So Kuminga's playing really, really well. Jimmy Butler can at times, and I understand what Steve Kerr said the other day, and I want to be empathetic to the situation where, you know, maybe he's 35 years old, so maybe that bruise is still hurting him a little bit. He was sick the other night. Those are excuses. I'm fond of this, and you know this, excuses or explanation. Is that an excuse or is that an explanation? They're losing in this series, you could say, because Steph Curry's out. That's an explanation, not an excuse. I still think Minnesota, because of the matchups, would be winning this series. Not so decidedly. I think we would be 2-2 with Steph Curry, but I still think Minnesota would win the series. I just think there are that many advantages for Minnesota, especially size-wise in this series. So I still think they'd be winning the series. Maybe, you know, one game difference. I think we'd be 2-2 going back to Minnesota, but whatever. But I look at this and I say to myself, okay, if Curry were around, Curry would be playing, I think, well. I think this would have been a better series for him than what the Rockets series was, because they don't have an Amen Thompson. They don't have those kind of defenders that can defend him. I like Jaden McDaniels and certain guys, but they don't have, you know, Conley and DiVincenzo and the type of guys that they could throw at him defensively. They didn't have enough. So I think Steph would be having a good series, but then that would mean Kuminga wouldn't even have played. But Kuminga's having a good series. Jimmy Butler, we'll see. One game, he was very assertive. And like I said, I don't care if he's got a bruise. I don't care if he's sick. He's got to be assertive tonight. There was a reason that they got him. There was this whole thing, playoff Jimmy, playoff Jimmy, playoff Jimmy, playoff Jimmy. Okay. We saw it once. So I wouldn't say that he's having an above average series. Again, you can grade him on a curve if you want. I don't. So he's not having an above average series. Pajemski's been god awful in this series. They're trying to rotate some of the bigs in. I mean, I give Looney a little bit for being a veteran and grabbing some boards in the first half, but it hasn't been consistent. Trayce Jackson-Davis had one good game, and I think that, again, there's kind of a malpractice situation. I would just let him play because he fits this series with his size, length, and athleticism, but his minutes have been inconsistent in this series. Some of that, again, has to go to Steve Kerr. So my point is, in looking up those numbers and discussing the whole thing is, they haven't had anyone really other than Kuminga have an above average series. And then you look at Minnesota and Dante DiVincenzo sticks out because he's having a terrible series and everybody else is playing pretty well. Julius Randle has been incredible. After the first game, about six quarters, Anthony Edwards has been absolutely great, especially second half of games. And in the third quarter, when they outscored the Warriors 39-17, he was ridiculous. One of the best players we've seen in the entire playoffs in that quarter alone. Jaden McDaniels is a tremendous defender and a big pain in the ass for the Warriors in this series. He's been very, very good. Rudy Gobert's numbers really don't show it, but he's been better than he normally is against the Warriors. In series, the Warriors have exposed him in past games and series. That's not the case in this series. He's been pretty good in this series. So across the board, Minnesota's been good. Across the board, outside of Kuminga, the Warriors, and one game from Jimmy Butler, the Warriors have been fairly bad. Buddy Hield had one half, the second half, where he scored 22 of his 24 in the first game. Very inconsistent, which has hurt since Steph Curry left. Like I said, Brandon Podziemski, Moses Moody, a bunch of guys have just saved their worst for last. I mean, that's just kind of what the series has been. So the Warriors deserve to be down 3-1. In fact, it took Buddy Hield's 22 of the 24 in the second half in game one to save them from being swept in this series. It's just not a good series from a standpoint of matchups. And Steph Curry would change that, I believe, by one game, but I don't think he would have changed the outcome. Therefore, I think the Warriors in the offseason are going to have to hunt for size big time. But anyway, that's a story for another day. So what I'm asking you, I guess, in a very roundabout way is, what can you hang your hat on tonight? Because I really had trouble with it. And like I said, I did an interview on ESPN Radio, and I was very blunt and honest with them. And they asked if the Warriors had, because of their championship DNA, one last run in them. And I thought to myself, all right. And I said this to the guys. I said, all right, championship DNA. Steve Kerr's on the sidelines. He can't do anything about it. And like I said, I didn't think he coached an urgent enough game last game. I think Chris Finch played two players. He did play two players over 40 minutes. Even when the Warriors had their backups in, he brought up his starters. He knew that the target date for Steph Curry was game six. And if he lost that game, that they would see a game six. And he wanted nothing to do with that. And he played an urgent game last time. And I don't think Steve Kerr did. I don't care if Jimmy Butler's sick. Puke in a bucket and get back out there. You got to play 40. Sorry, we don't have any other choice. And he rested him in the second quarter. Now, maybe he was feeling like shit and I'm being an asshole. But the reality of the situation is you're desperate. And he didn't coach like they were desperate. Minnesota coached like they were desperate. And they ended up winning the game. Now, the third quarter was a huge difference maker in that whole thing. But like tonight, everything's on the table. Sorry, Jimmy. Puke when the season's over. That's just the way it's got to be. Brandon Podziemski, you're shooting the ball like garbage like you have this entire series. I know you hustle and get charges and everything like that. I got to find somebody to put the ball in the basket. Sorry. So the 37 to 40 minutes that you've been getting, I don't have time for that tonight. If you're going to play the way you're going to play, I'm going to have to rifle through the bench. And I don't love this because he already did this in game two to see what's going on. He gave that game away essentially by sparring with the Timberwolves in that game. Another thing that I didn't agree with. So Steph Curry goes down and you have in the middle of the playoffs and you decide that you don't have a plan. Like, you never thought that Steph Curry could go down and he didn't have a plan. I don't understand that. So they threw a bunch of stuff against the wall and they still haven't had any consistency since that point. So tonight, I won't blame Steve Kerr if he goes just throw everything against the wall, because this is it. Your season's over after tonight. This is do or die. This is must win. We are at that point. So if Podziemski doesn't have it, you're out. If Jimmy doesn't have it, you're out. I mean, really, you with Jimmy, that's not true. Jimmy, I mean, he's just got to play and just got to live or die with your best. Brandon Podziemski, to me, in this series, has not been your best. So I don't care who it is. It can be Pat Spencer. It can be Moses Moody. It can be just rifle through the bench and see if somebody's got it. I mean, you found Jonathan Kuminga on the trash heap. I don't know why he was in the trash. Like, you know when you accidentally throw something away? How the hell did I throw that away? That's Kuminga. Like, you can't throw him away. So, you know, you're going to play Kuminga tonight because you have no choice. You're going to play Butler as much as you can because you have no choice. You're going to coach a desperate game, which is what you should have coached the other night because you didn't want to go down 3-1. But okay, you're in Minnesota and your season depends on it. So my question to you is very simple. Championship DNA, because I told him, I said, look, Draymond Green is a champion, but he's gassed. Steph Curry is out. Steve Kerr can't shoot the ball, defend, pass, dribble. He's a coach. He can coach in an urgent fashion, which he will. But exactly who has championship DNA on this team? Jimmy Butler's never won a championship. I mean, he's carried him, and we call him playoff Jimmy because it followed him from Miami. But okay, I've only seen that on occasion in these playoffs, so I wouldn't exactly call him playoff Jimmy. Jonathan Kuminga, in the 22 season, hardly played. I mean, I know there's pictures of him kissing a trophy and everything, but he doesn't have championship DNA. He's never done it. He's watched it. I don't know that you can get that through osmosis or whatever kind of thing that you can get that through. It's not like a disease. So he hasn't done it. There's guys who have sat on the bench and watched it. Moses Moody sat on the bench that year and watched it, but he has been nothing in these playoffs. So championship DNA boils down to one guy. It's Draymond Green. He's the only one that was on all those teams and has championship DNA. Now, Kevon Looney has it as well, but he doesn't have the talent to back it up. I mean, he can sit there and say all sorts of things, and maybe it's going to be Kevon Looney that gives the speech tonight, but there's really one guy who's going to be very impactful tonight that has championship DNA, and that's Draymond Green. And so I don't look back and say, well, these are the Warriors. They are a name, and Steve Kerr's still there, and Draymond Green's still there, and technically Kevon Looney's still there, but he's not good enough to impact things in a great way tonight. I mean, they'll probably play him a lot because he's a veteran, and Steve Kerr will decide that this is a game in which you play those veterans, but they've got to play in a way, to go back to my original thought on this conversation, they've got to play in a way tonight that they really haven't played for the majority of this series, which is, as you look at the numbers, like I said, it's ugly. They have not played well. They've not rebounded well. They have not, they've turned it over. They've made a lot of mistakes. They've just made stupid plays. They've fouled a lot, by the way. They haven't gotten to the free throw line themselves. I mean, it's just all these different things have happened. And then, like I said, I'm trying to make a case for the Warriors to win tonight. And like I said, I went through it statistically and all the other different ways you could look. And I said, there's just really not a lot out there that would tell me that they could do this. Now, could Jimmy Butler have a game like he did 2 games ago? Yeah. But here's the problem. Jimmy Butler 2 games ago had an amazing game. Didn't score for the last 8 minutes because he was gassed. Jonathan Kuminga, as I've told you, has scored an easy 30. And they still didn't win. So what it's going to take is Jimmy Butler from 2 games ago being incredibly aggressive, playoff Jimmy, Jonathan Kuminga scoring his 30, Buddy Hield playing the way like he did in Game 7 against Houston, Brandon Podziemski having that 26-point game that he had against Houston, which has essentially been his only good playoff game so far. He would have to have that kind of a game. I mean, the way that Kevon Looney rebounded in the first half of last game where he had 8 rebounds, like picking and choosing the best of what they've done, but they haven't done it concurrently during these playoffs, and it's a lot to ask. And oh, by the way, you don't have Steph Curry tonight in Minnesota. They smell blood in the water. Anthony Edwards has been the best player in the series. Julius Randle has been the second best player in the series. So when you've got the best two players on the other team, it's hard to be optimistic about tonight's game. That's all. Look, I hope I'm 100% wrong. I hope I'm a complete jackass and tomorrow we jump in here and I say, boy, was I wrong. But so far, just based on what they've given us to go on, and that's the best prediction for the future is the past. The things that we've seen so far from the Warriors in this series without Steph Curry lead you to believe that what would be your belief that they could win tonight? And I'm sorry to be so pessimistic. Like I said, I actually launched a journey yesterday to say, okay, how are they going to do this? How are they going to pull off something that nothing says they could do? So anyway, there's my charge to you. How could they do this? Here you go, right here, right away. Pine Needle, thanks, Pine. Kuminga's going to get 40 points tonight if Steve takes the chains off him. Look, there should be no chains. It should be, look, you're our best scorer, and that includes Jimmy Butler, by the way, because what's happening for Minnesota, and this is part of the deal. I've said this before, and I'm remiss in 33 minutes into the show of not bringing this up. I'm talking about all the negative things and all the things that I see from the Warriors statistically and otherwise, just watching the game. Minnesota's got great matchups, and Jade McDaniels is really, really good defensively. And so Jimmy Butler's trying to have a great game tonight against the guy in Jade McDaniels that's an all-defense caliber type of performer. He's long, he's quick, he's athletic, and that's who they throw on Jimmy Butler tonight. So that's part of the problem here is Jade McDaniels is a really difficult defender, and Jimmy Butler has got to deal with him tonight, and that's what Minnesota's going to do. Like, Jimmy's the head of the snake here. I know that Kuminga can be, but, that's what I like. I think Kuminga can score 30. Rudy Gobert is trying to come at him. He's got a great mid-range game. It drives me crazy when he doesn't go to the rim, and he can go to the rim anytime he wants. He's either going to get fouled or he's going to get, deep into it. We saw it in the previous couple of games. So Kuminga tonight could score 30. There's no doubt. Jimmy Butler could score 30 tonight. Have a great mid-range game, get out on the break, those kind of things. He could get to the free throw line, even though, I told you the game was going to change. because of the playoffs, because of the way that they call the game and the lack thereof. And that was one of the things, by the way, it coincided with Anthony Edwards getting going. He stopped bitching at the officials every time he drove to the rim and got touched, and he would stop and complain and look at the officials. And I'm sure their head coach and their entire organization watched film with Anthony Edwards and said, stop complaining to the officials. It's the playoffs. It's the playoffs. You're not going to get those kind of calls. So just deal with it. You got hit on the wrist. Turn around, run back on defense. Stop it. Because early in the series, every single time he drove to the rim, he thought he got fouled. And maybe during the regular season, they would have done that. But during the playoffs, they're not. And so all of a sudden, he stopped dealing so much with the officials. I'm sure the organization told him that. And all of a sudden, it was like, wow, he took off. So there you go. All right, what else do we got? Give me your thoughts on this whole thing. Give me some optimism of how they can pull this off, because if they were to win tonight, optimism would be abound. Let's be honest here. Okay, so let's take it to the other side. Somehow they pull this thing off. Let's just have some fun. Somehow they pull this thing off without Steph. Steph comes back for game six. You're at home. You get momentum. Steph goes off for 30, right, and plays, and he's dancing and doing all these kind of things, and all of a sudden – Minnesota's kind of doing what you did against Houston in game seven. You're like, wait a minute, there's a game seven? Now, obviously, it would be in Minnesota, wouldn't be here. But remember, they won game one there, and they did it 12 minutes and 54 seconds of Steph Curry, and then, you know, Buddy Hield went off and all those kind of things happened. So Minnesota, they get to a game seven. And like I said, I'm going from, oh, my God, the season's over. It's just JK's last game. But let's just have a little fun. If they were to win tonight, pull off a miracle tonight. After all, they did it mostly without Steph in game one. They would need a lot of things to go right, but they did it. All of a sudden, they announced Steph Curry can play for game six. They win that game, and Minnesota goes from skipping and waltzing into the Western Conference Finals, probably against OKC, who's up 3-2 in that series, to now looking at this thing going, wait a minute, didn't we just have a 3-1 lead? And now Steph Curry's back, and we got to play a game seven. It's on our court, but still, we got to play a game seven all of a sudden. So tonight could be incredibly pivotal, because if they lose, then the offseason starts and we talk about Giannis and JK. Where's Kuminga going, and could they get a Miles Turner or another stretch big? After all, Joe Lacob has already made the commitment to Jimmy Butler, so there's no going back now. You're already in the tax. So they're gonna go deep into that. And then the other thing we're going to talk about so much in the offseason, like I said, is Dallas wins the lottery. They're going to be better. San Antonio's got the 2 pick. I think they're going to trade for somebody. Houston sitting there going, well, we're going to move some guys because we have a boatload of talent. What big name can we get? Remember, not only does Houston have a guy like Jalen Green to move, there's a guy named Reed Shepard on their team who I really, really liked and can't believe that he didn't crack their rotation at all this year. But he's a really nice player. He was the 3rd pick in the draft last year, and they got a lot of talent. They have a lot of assets to trade. So all of a sudden, Houston's better. Oklahoma City's still young. I don't know what Denver's going to do. They're kind of at a crossroads. But point is it's not going to be easier in the West next year, and you're a year older. And Joe Lacob has a lot of decisions to make. So it's an incredibly important game tonight, obviously, because it's win or lose. But it's the difference between talking about Giannis and Miles Turner and what you're going to do in the offseason and all these different kind of things. And Joe Lacob going, I went back into the luxury tax and traded and signed Jimmy Butler to a long-term extension to get knocked out in the second round. So there's that kind of talk that's going to happen, or they could win tonight. You and I get back together tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. here on John Lennon Unleashed, and all of a sudden we're going, how did they do that? But by the way, Steph Curry could play in game six, and all of a sudden they can win this series, and it changes the trajectory of everything. Everything. Because all of a sudden you're the Warriors, you get cocky again, you might get a game seven, and then you're thinking about, man, we could beat Oklahoma City. I mean, it's crazy. Anyway, important game tonight. Thank you, Nathan, with a donation to the pot. Thank you so much, by the way, to guarantee that you can get your stuff on the show. All you have to do is go to John Lund Unleashed on YouTube and hit us up with a sticker, hit us up with a super, which is a question, comment, thought, and I'm always up for those. So thank you to Nathan for breaking the seal on today's show with a super sticker. Thank you, Nathan. You are the best. By the way, I do owe Skills, so I got to check out Skills. The Skills have a dream up here at all? And I do at the beginning. Let me just take a quick random here for a second, because I'm going to get into the Cavs and LeBron is where I am here. So we're at episode 140, no Curry, JK's last game potentially tonight, one last stand. Could they do it? Giannis rumors we've talked about, so we're down to Cavs and LeBron. But at the beginning here, let me go all the way back to when I first posted the show up today, and somebody was talking about dreams here, if I'm not mistaken. Hi, James. Not going to get into an argument about who has the strangest dreams. You already got that guy. That's Skills, our guy. But many of us have very vivid and memorable strange dreams. So you got to tell me about it, because then, you got something here. Good morning. Oh, my gosh, you're at the Gorge? Oh, I've seen tons of see you after my commute to work. Oh, he's already gone. See, I'd like to know what your dream is. He's challenging his skills. I'd like to know what your dream is there. Boy, the Columbia River Gorge. I've seen some shows there. Really good time had by all with some drugs that probably weren't very legal. let's see here. Let's see. Skills, you got any, what do you got for me, Skills? Because I owe you one, man. So I'm all the way back at the top, so you might have updated things, but I wanted to see that. So somebody, Skills, is challenging you, by the way. Is challenging your dream. So I owe you a dream, because yesterday you donated, then I didn't see the second one. So I just got to make sure that I get you today. So I'm just doing a thing real quick, because I want to see what's going on with Skills today, because I owe him one. He hit me up with a super yesterday, and I try to do the best possible job I can. There's hundreds and hundreds of these that go out to me every day. So I'm sitting here trying to make sure that I see Skills stuff on here. So I just want to make sure as we're sitting there. By the way, if you're wondering, what is Lund doing? If you're watching on X or Instagram or any of those other platforms, we have a great chat room. If you come over to johnlundunleashed.com, we have a great chat room here. And that's what I'm reading. So I'm just looking at everybody that comes in on a regular basis. So anyway, just want to make sure, because I owe Skills one let's see. Oh, man. Okay. All right. See, there we go. It took me a minute. I'm too lazy to type up today's dream. It's all good. All right. But believe me, I know I owe you one. So we'll just keep it at that. All right. We'll just keep it at that for now. All right. The Cavs last night. A lot of times I've been in these press conferences hundreds and hundreds of times, and lots of times, you know, guys can be disingenuous or, you know, whatever, you know, but on the times that you get a guy and, you know, we make fun of Cleveland and all that kind of stuff. Donovan Mitchell, I don't know if he wanted to go there. He was in Utah. I think he wanted to go to Miami or New York or something like that, but he gets traded to Cleveland, and they had a tremendous year. And we know the feeling, because when the Warriors won 73 games, they didn't win a championship. And it's a bummer when you just have such a great year, but no one's going to remember it because you got knocked out in the second round by Indiana. So here's Donovan Mitchell, who was playing hurt. And it's just unfortunate because the Cavaliers had a bunch of hurt guys at a bad time of the year and end up getting knocked out in a pretty big fashion by Indiana. So here's Donovan Mitchell last night from the podium, bummed out that Cleveland, the top seed in the East, is out.
Just couldn't believe it. Didn't want to believe it. Don't want to believe it. Still don't want to believe it. It's tough. It's tough to win this league. Give them credit. We didn't do the things necessary. I love playing in that fucking arena, man. Like, that energy, that crowd. We're 0-3 at home. You know? Let the city down, man. This place is special. This place is really special. And
so you can tell. I mean, it's just, you know, the dude is gutted for this whole thing. Now, look, I don't know how this is going to work, and I put Cavs on LeBron, but I've said this ever since Luka got to the Lakers, and this probably will never come out publicly, probably in a document, you know, a series later on in life, 10, 20, whatever, how many years away it is. But it just makes so much sense for the league to have LeBron James go back to Cleveland one last year, do his ego tour, get, you know, presents and accolades and all these kind of things in his last year, a la Derek Jeter did it. Dr. J did it. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar did it. The greats. And it's fine. LeBron James deserves it. He's been that good. And so he's going to do that. But I don't think the Lakers want him next year. I think that Luka Doncic, who has the ultimate hammer over the Lakers' head, which is, look, I don't have to re-sign here. He's eligible for an extension. If the Lakers don't play ball with Luka, like I said, he's not going to make this public. But if the Lakers don't play ball with Luka, I would imagine that he'll probably behind the scenes tell them, look, man, I'm not re-signing. You know, you gave up Anthony Davis. You gave up, you know, whatever the things you gave up. You should have gave up more, but you didn't. But you gave up what you gave up. And I could walk out the door and LeBron's going to be 41 years old. So you make a decision. I'm 26 and I dominate the basketball. And when I'm standing around watching LeBron, that's not what I do. So you have two ball dominant players and it's my turn, your turn, my turn, your turn, my turn, your turn. It doesn't work. And the Lakers are in a very similar situation to me as the Warriors, as the rest of the West has some dominant size that gives them all sorts of trouble. And once they traded Anthony Davis, they didn't have any. And they're running, and they ran into the same problems that the Warriors are running into. And the Warriors, frankly, ran into against Houston. And this isn't going to change in the Western Conference anytime soon. So the Lakers need to change what they are. Jackson Hayes doesn't get it done inside for the Lakers. They lose Anthony Davis. Now, look, I make that trade 100 times out of 100, and I don't care if Dallas got the first overall pick, whatever the case may be. You know my thoughts on that whole thing. I think it's rigged and fixed and all those kind of things, but that's for another day. But I think the Lakers need to make a move, and Luka has the contract or lack thereof to hold over the Lakers' head to say, look, I'm ball dominant. The team is mine. The ball is mine. And I want players that fit me, i.e. players that are younger, players that are more athletic, players that are 3 and D. I want a pick and roll big guy like they had with like a Derek Lively, somebody like that. That's what fits Luka. That's how they got to the NBA Finals a year ago. Not with my turn, your turn, my turn, your turn. Okay, they were the third seed. Wonderful. You won 50-something games. So they went 52 or whatever they won. Great. Didn't get you anywhere in the playoffs. You got knocked out 4-1, and you have serious problems on your roster. So I don't know how it would logically work, because I don't know what Cleveland would give up to the Lakers. I don't know, a Jarrett Allen. I don't know exactly how it would work. I know that LeBron makes all that money, but it just seems like a dream scenario. If we're talking about fixing, which I often do, and that sports isn't on the up and up, it just makes way too much sense for LeBron James to do a final tour with his team that just got knocked out, as you just saw, in excruciating fashion, the Cleveland Cavaliers. The whole city hurting Donovan Mitchell. I mean, that's a really good basketball team. And if somehow, and if I'm the Lakers, I just, you know, give me Jared Allen, you know, and you got Evan Mobley. All of a sudden you got LeBron and you got Mitchell and you got plenty. Give me a couple of guys off that roster. We'll match some things up, whatever. You can still be really good. You'll win the East. And you got LeBron and he's doing a final go around, his third time with the Cavaliers. He goes out. They're in the Eastern Conference. It's much easier than the West. I mean, Boston next year is not going to have Jason Tatum for the majority of the season. Indiana's a nice team, but Cleveland with LeBron beats them. The Knicks are absolutely going to be a problem, but if you look to the Western Conference, it's a lot more difficult. So the East is easier. So that makes a lot of sense for LeBron. He gets away from some of those teams with the size. I think it makes a ton of sense. I don't know how it happens. Dot and I's, crossing T's, the logic of it. I'm just telling you that LeBron, I think, is going to get traded from the Lakers, because I think Luka doesn't want to deal with that. They don't match. There's only one ball. Luka needs a pick and roll big with him. He needs some 3 and D guys so that he can dish off those things. That's what he had in Dallas. He needs that kind of a roster, and LeBron doesn't fit what he's going to do. And from a timeline standpoint, he's 41, Luka's 26. Like, if you're the Lakers, now's the time. Flip this guy. Get the kind of players that you want around Luka, make a 5 or a 10 year run around this guy, and you're good to go. And LeBron gets to go to Cleveland. The NBA loves it. He runs a final, you know, run around the league tour, and Cleveland's really, really good and could potentially win the East with him. And he goes to the NBA Finals. He's much closer in Cleveland to a final trip than he is with the Lakers. Just makes a lot of sense. I don't know how it's going to happen. Don't ask me for the details. I gave you kind of details, but I wouldn't be surprised if it happened. So there you go. Give me your thoughts. Or even if you care, maybe you don't. Pete Rose reaction, I'm completely shocked. And now, I'll be completely honest, and if you watch the show on a regular basis, let me hit up the chat real quick, because I'm going to go in a completely different direction here in a second with Pete Rose. Let's see, what else? Anything else? LeBron thoughts. Let me see here. Okay. I'll move on. I want LaFlop off my team. Yeah, look, it's going to be a trip, man, when he leaves. Like, I mean, the guy's a great player. Nobody can deny that, but the flopping and all the different things. But you know, like I said, we'll see. We'll see what he does. But I, if I'm the NBA, I'm trying to make that happen. All right, let's get to this Pete Rose story. Let me just give you my philosophy real quick before I throw this one guy up on the screen who I completely disagree with. He wrote a piece about Pete Rose. My philosophy on Hall of Fames are, and I understand, this is the way I would have voted, and I've had many of these voters on, Susan Susser, and voters who voted for Pete Rose, Barry Bonds, Roger Clemens, and people who steadfastly just don't want to do it, and they take a small sentence within it that essentially talks about
the type of person that this person is to get into the Hall of Fame, and so they've kind of leaned on that kind of thing. But there are felons in the Hall of Fame. There are racists in the Hall of Fame. Just overall, there's bad guys in the Hall of Fame, and they don't get taken out of the Hall of Fame. Talking about baseball, it's a museum. It's not supposed to be perfection. I get it that it's not just about baseball. I think it should be. I shouldn't say I don't care what someone does off the field, because I think there are lines and there should be some sort of morality, but there is a morality clause in the there we go. I was going to pop that up in just a second. But there are morality clauses in this whole thing. Sorry, I got to get no one trying to get this off the screen there. There are morality clauses in baseball, so I understand that. And so those who did not want to put Pete Rose in, did not want to put Barry Bonds in, did not want to put Roger Clemens in, leaned on those. And I respect that. It's your opinion, man. That's fine. You do you. You know, you and I talk about this all the time. You do you. My philosophy on Hall of Fames are the all-time hit king should be in the Hall of Fame. The all-time home run king should be in the Hall of Fame. A pitcher the quality of Roger Clemens should be in the Hall of Fame, because I know there are people that have used. I know there are people who have abused. I know there are people who are bad. I know there, you know, it's a museum, and you mix all those things in, everybody, you know, come up with your own opinion, but it's not a Hall of Fame to me if the all-time hits leader and home run leader aren't in. But I also understand the slippery slope, especially with Pete Rose. You can't bet on the game. But it seems pretty logical to me that he got a lifetime ban, right? You're trying to rehab people. So think about this. You're thinking about betting on baseball, right? They banned Pete Rose from 1989 till his death. All right. So what's that? 36 years. He was banned. And I saw Pete Rose, and you probably did too, as I was in was in Mandalay Bay, and you walk up those stairs and they got all those shops, and they had a sports shop there, which is now gone, a memorabilia shop. And Pete would sit in there, and his son, Pete Jr., would sit in there, and they would try to wave you over. And he's sitting in this place, and he would go there every day, Monday through Friday, I think, in Vegas where he lived. And he would go in there, and he would beg people to have him sign things for money, because he was trying to still make money from baseball and really couldn't. And he was ostracized from the game, and it was embarrassing. I mean, I was a fan growing up as a kid of the Big Red Machine, man, and Pete Rose was a great player when I was a kid, and here he is sitting over there with a hat on, and his son Pete is madly waving me over as I'm trying to walk past that shop on the Mandalay Bay shops and kind of not be seen. I almost wanted to be invisible because I didn't want to see it, because it was so pathetic. So if you're somebody and you're thinking about it and you're a baseball player and you're thinking I'm going to run bets, don't you think that the lesson was learned by somebody? Don't you think that 36 years and ostracized from the game that you love, and no matter how many times he said he didn't care if he was in the Hall of Fame, meant everything to him. He was Mr. Baseball. He was Charlie Hustle. It was everything to him, baseball. Everything to him. And yeah, he made a huge mistake in not admitting it, because as a society, sports, business, or otherwise, we'll forgive you. You just have to fall on the sword. You have to fall on the sword. And if you don't do it, then we can be really mean and bad to you. If you admit it, we will embrace you. Yep, nobody's perfect. You're right. We embrace you. We forgive you. That's how we work as a society. We will forgive you, but you got to admit your mistake. And if you do, I'm not going to say all is well, but we treat you a lot better and eventually things go away. But if you're going to deny till you die, which is what he pretty much did. Now, he did at the end admit it, but he pretty much denied for many, many, many years, and it became really difficult on him, kind of like Barry Bonds. Deny, 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 deny. We know you did it. Deny, 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 deny. And it made his life really difficult. So my point is that it's about rehabilitation to me, and if you look at the way that Pete Rose lived his life till the end, it was a pretty miserable existence for a guy where baseball is everything to him. And I saw it firsthand, and so did you. It was pathetic walking by those shops and to see how far Pete Rose had fallen. So to me, if you were thinking that way, you got a pretty good picture of what it would be like if that's what you did. So I think that the point was proven that, you know what, you wouldn't want to do this. And he got banned from baseball. And so it was a lifetime ban. He's dead. It's up. He's not banned anymore. He's dead. He should be in the Hall of Fame. So then a guy like Bob Nightingale, who I'm sorry to say this, but he's a shitty writer and he's a shitty guy. And I don't know who keeps hiring him. He sucks at his job. He gets breaking stories wrong. you know, and again, like I said, you do you, right? You can have an opinion. You can say what you want. You can write what you want, whatever. I'm just not a Bob Nightingale fan. Dark day for baseball. MLB shock decision on Pete Rose could open floodgates. How? First of all, you're completely inaccurate. It's not a shock decision. It was a lifetime ban, and he's dead. How is that a shock decision? And Rob Manfred, who I'm not a fan of either, said weeks ago that he was going to revisit this. He was going to revisit this and Shoeless Joe Jackson. And look, whatever on Shoeless Joe Jackson, I wasn't around for that. But Pete Rose, I was. And he's the all-time hits leader. And you banned him. They banned him for 36 years for gambling. You shouldn't gamble in baseball. But the irony is here, Bob Nightingale, is that they have no problem whatsoever taking boatloads of money from the gambling services now. So you don't think Pete Rose should be in, even though the hypocrisy of what baseball and professional sports in general and all the sports, I should say, is doing with all these, you know, fan duels and all these different gambling. And what is it, 30-something states have legalized gambling now, so you can gamble your ass off if you want to on anything. It's not excusing Pete Rose. Times have changed, Bob. I don't know if you just woke up. You're telling me that a guy who was banned from baseball and is now dead shouldn't be in the Hall of Fame, given the fact, too, that we are taking all of this money, or they are taking all this money from all these gambling services? Wake the fuck up. What is wrong with you? You're stupid. And what he's basically saying is that now that Pete Rose is going to get in, then it's going to open floodgates for everybody. First of all, it's not, because everything is looked at on an individual basis in baseball. They don't just with a big marker say, well, Pete Rose is in, everybody's in. That's not how it works, and that's not how it's ever worked. And so to suggest that is just stupidity, all right? Second of all, the all-time hits king should be in. He was banned for life. He's dead. The ban is over. Pretty simple. And then as far as Barry Bonds is concerned, Barry Bonds should be in. Roger Clemens should be in. Are you telling me that Piazza didn't use? Are you telling me that David Ortiz didn't use? Are you telling me, Bob Nightingale, that nobody's in that used? Because they did. And what's worse, that, and when I was around and covering baseball at that time, it was encouraged. Everybody knew it, including you, Bob Nightingale. Everybody knew it was happening. Nobody threw up their hands. Bob Nightingale didn't write some kind of an insider piece, insightful piece that broke it open. That was Jose Canseco who did it, who said everybody was using, but everybody knew, and we didn't need a book to even tell us. So all those guys should be in. The guy who authored it, the guy who oversaw it, Bud Selig, is in. He knew it was happening. How is he in? Really? So anyway, this is a slippery slope, and we can go down it all day long. But the point is on Pete Rose, and it's an individual thing, because Pete Rose is in doesn't mean Shoeless Joe Jackson is in. You know, whatever. It's a museum. It's all the perfect people are not in. There's a morality clause. I think a morality clause is stupid, you know? And if there's a morality clause, then take a bunch of bad people out of there. Ty Cobb was a massive racist. Take him out. But you won't do that. So there's not a bunch of angels in the Hall of Fame. And Pete Rose, you cannot, this is again, philosophically, can you tell the story? I do agree with that. Can you tell the story of baseball without the all-time hit king? No, you can't. Can you tell the story of baseball without the all-time home run king? No, you can't. So put him in. It's only logic. And can we move on from it now? Because there are guys who have used. There are guys who have abused. There are guys. Yeah, it's a lot of bad people in all the Hall of Fame. But yet there they are. And it's a museum. And that's the whole point of it. And a lot of people can lean on the morality clause. And they do. And I respect that. It's fine if you didn't want to vote for him. But times have changed. And in Pete Rose's case, he's dead, so the lifetime ban is up. But the total irony of the whole thing is they're taking millions and millions and millions of dollars from these gambling services. And yet you're still telling me that Pete Rose, who stayed the game, there's no question about it, by betting. And one of the ways that you can undermine the sport, there's no question, is by betting. But if I'm sitting there as a manager, and that's where the problem was with Pete Rose, he's betting on his team, against his team, whatever. He's got insider information. You can't do that. Like, let's say I'm a manager right now, or I'm a player, and I'm thinking about gambling. Gee, do I do this or not? Do I hit this button or not? 36 years and a lifetime ban from Pete Rose. The type of life that Pete Rose, who loved, loved, loved baseball and wanted nothing more than to get into the Hall of Fame. That guy who lived and died for baseball. How much pain he went through to and you don't think that that's a stern enough warning for someone who might be tempted to bet? You don't think that 36 years and being banned from baseball in the way that he was, in the way that he lived his life, in the way that he was ostracized from this whole thing, the way that he was embarrassed by Jim Gray, remember the All-Star game, all those kind of things? He was everything about baseball. And you think that someone's going to, in the back of their mind, going to sit back and go, eh, not enough. I'm sorry, there are murderers. There are far more heinous crimes committed in this country that are not punished to the extent of what Pete Rose was. And now the guys in his grave and Bob Nightingale and others think that that's not enough. It was a lifetime ban. His life is over. He deserves to be in. As do Clemens, as do Bonds. And if you're talking about floodgates, those three guys deserve to be in. Those three guys deserve to be in. That's hardly floodgates. Anyway, I'll get off my soapbox now. Hardly floodgates. He's a terrible writer. He's terrible. Absolutely terrible. Sorry. Just awful. Everything he writes, awful. All right. What else do we have today? Sorry to go on that tangent. Let's see. Pete Rose reaction. Oh, Giants win. Lee Koss. And let me pop up the Giants box score here. Boy, this is a hard right turn. Let me share the screen with you. It is still baseball, I guess. Let's see. Box score. There you go. First of all, as far as games in May are concerned, this was an important win. They had a losing streak going on. Arizona's in your division. You weren't scoring a bunch of runs. And to throw a 10 spot on a Tuesday night is really, really big. So Christian Koss right there at the bottom, as I told you, he's an automatic out, right? I'm sitting there going, 7-8-9 is atrocious. And then you look at 7-8-9 last night, and there's Lamont Wade Jr. with two hits. He's up to 157. Woohoo! Let's see. Patrick Bailey last night scores a run. He's hitting a real best 179. But Christian Koss, 2-for-4 last night, hits his first career home run, gets a grand slam. They're in those funky uniforms last night. So congratulations to Christian Koss. Robbie Ray continues to rock and roll. He's 6-0 with a 304. And even if people say that wins don't matter, and they don't, if Robbie Ray keeps this up, he might be going to the All-Star game just because they are gaudy. I mean, people go, they don't matter in analytics. Yeah, but when you do All-Star voting, when managers look at stuff, let's say at the break, Robbie Ray's like 9-1 with a ERA hovering in the low threes or high twos. He's going to get an opportunity to go probably. Kyle Harrison gives up a home run, but still, okay. Camilo Duvall is pitching great. Bivens, I'm not a huge fan of. They had a big enough lead with him at the end, but the pen, Bivens makes me nervous. Walker makes me nervous right now. Rest of the pen is pretty, pretty strong. Really cool that Jung-Hoo Lee hit a home run last night on Korean Heritage Night. That was very, very, very cool. So there you go. And they throw up a 10 spot on Arizona. I just think it was an important win last night. I know that maybe it doesn't matter in the whole scheme of things, and we probably won't go back and say, hey, remember that game on May 13th when the Giants beat the Diamondbacks 10-6? But they were in the midst of a losing streak, and they weren't scoring a whole lot of runs in that streak. And you're going, eh, and then they all of a sudden turn around and get a 10 spot. Koss gets a grand slam. Maybe that gets him going a little bit. Wade gets a couple of hits. Maybe that gets him going a little bit. So we'll see. But like I said, an important win, and Robbie Ray has been absolutely great. He's been their best pitcher. I mean, I know that Logan Webb is their number one, and I'm not suggesting that he's not. I'm simply saying that just Robbie Ray has been really, really good over his last, what, 5-6 starts? Really, really good. So huge win last night. I'm going to call it a huge win because they were in the midst of a losing streak, and you're playing against Arizona, and that's a huge might be a little too strong, but still really, really good. And then I didn't bring this – bring this graphic – I meant to, but I didn't. Let's see. One of the Carsons is pitching. Is it Rags? One of the Carsons is pitching really well right now. Alex Pavlovich had the number. And then Kyle Harrison, we saw him again last night. And I'm always chirping about Birdsong and hoping that he can get in there. My point is this. They've got a lot of young pitching depth on this team. And I keep bringing up a guy like Rhys Hoskins. And you just got to hope that the Brewers lose. Because then earlier rather than later, I just think he's a perfect fit. So I realize the scrutiny that we have, and I need to have somebody on because everybody loves when we talk about, you know, young players and the, you know, the 30 top prospects and all this kind of stuff. Melissa Lockhart does a really good job with it. a couple other people do a really nice job with it. And we always, when I was on KNBR, we always got a ton of reaction. Like we would have them on and we get reaction. And then later in the podcast, we would post it and people would go back to it. So people love looking at the prospects and everything, but just off the naked eye, they have a lot of young pitching depth in this organization, and it's good enough to go out and get a first baseman. So I know Lamont Wade gets a couple of hits last night. Congratulations. You're hitting .157. It doesn't change my opinion on him. So they need to do something. They've got some pitching depth. That's where I am right there. And so I think that they might be able to do that. So there's some thoughts on the Giants. Give me your thoughts on the Giants as well. That's where we are. Episode 140, by the way, today. Welcome in as we're just past an hour into the show. We are here Monday through Friday at 8 a.m. Pacific time on John Lund Unleashed on YouTube. Please make sure that you subscribe and also subscribe on the Bay Area Sports Collective, which is my show. Tom Tolbert, formerly of KNBR as well, and Rod Brooks, Quality Hang, as well as Polymac, Polymac Particles, and our good friend Creative Tony. They'll be on at 11 o'clock today. So make sure, no, it's Wednesday. They're going to do the night flight tonight. They do nights. They do Wednesday nights is what they do. So they do the Wednesday night show, so that's going to be tonight. And I will be on tonight for postgame for the Warriors, plus earlier today for the schedule release. And speaking of the schedule release, it is schedule release day. So let me, this is what we know so far. I don't love how the NFL does this. I would rather just have them do it at once. But look, they know a lot more than I do when it comes to the offseason. They are absolutely great at this. They never have a spare moment in the offseason. So this is what we know so far. So Monday it was announced. Cowboys and Eagles for the opener, which to me was a bit of a surprise. You always have the Super Bowl champion, obviously, but you're going to tune in for the Eagles. So it's almost like you're wasting the Cowboys and Eagles because the Cowboys always get numbers. So I was a little bit surprised that they went Cowboys-Eagles. You could think that would happen during the season at some point to get some numbers out of nowhere. And you would think the Eagles would play somebody else, but that's going to be the opener, Eagles and Cowboys. Then they threw out a couple of games during the season, Eagles, Commanders, Packers, Bears, December 20th. Prime Video throughout some games. Like I said, you're looking at a Thanksgiving matchup between the Bears and the Eagles and a Christmas matchup between the Broncos and the Chiefs. ESPN throwing out an Eagles-Packers game that is in Brazil. Let's see, CBS, you got the Cowboys and the Chiefs. You got that out there. So, the international games, those were announced yesterday. So they do it a little bit, a little bit, little bit, little bit. And then today they're going to throw out the big thing, and that's going to be everything else. There's always lots of rumors. I heard yesterday from a friend of mine in Seattle who does a show up at KJR in Seattle that the opener was going to be the Niners and the Seahawks. Others have told me that they thought maybe it was going to be the Rams. Anyway, I believe my guy up in Seattle, so I think that is going to be the opener. So there's all sorts of stuff that are being thrown out as far as the rumors are concerned. I don't really jump into those kind of things. I'll just wait. I mean, it's happening. And so what we're going to do is when the schedule is fully released, we're going to play the win-loss game, which I used to play on the radio all the time, much to the chagrin of Papa. He would just sit there and go, oh, I hate when you do this. But then after a while, after a number of years, because we're going to do it. Like I would just walk in that morning and be like, this is what we're doing. We're definitely doing win-loss game. And he'd be like, oh. So anyway, we'll do keep your alerts on today, because when the schedule is released, we'll do the win-loss game tonight. So we got the show this morning, which we do Monday through Friday and Saturdays. 8 a.m. Pacific, 10 a.m. on Saturday. So make sure you are tuned into that. Then have your alerts on today, because when the schedule's released, we're going to have a fun game of win-loss with the 49ers. And then tonight, after the game, we're going to do immediately following the game, we'll do Warriors post-game. It might be Warriors off-season post-mortem, or it might be, oh my God, they pulled it off, and Steph Curry might return for game 6, and uh-oh, the Timberwolves might be in trouble. So that's what the agenda looks like today. Let me get a couple of other things in here today, because I got a really funny thing for you. This is funny. Did I already NFL? Oh, I went to the NFL. Sorry. Let me do this. Let me reverse back to baseball for a minute. Rewind it back. I saw this yesterday. Amazing. Max Scherzer's having a year. So because of the deferred payments from the Nationals, he's getting $15 million this year. He signed that contract in the Mets. He's getting about $31 million from the Mets. He pitched for the Rangers. He's getting $12.5 million from them. He signed a one-year deal with the Blue Jays, $15.5 million from them. This is all this year. So this is what he gets. Every 2 weeks, he gets a check from the Nationals, the Mets, the Rangers, and the Blue Jays in his account. And for the year, 31, 46, let's round that up to 59, 69. He gets about $75 million this year. $75 million this year for Max Scherzer. You can tell me about Bobby Bonilla having the, you know, oh, he gets a check for $1 million in his, you know, July 1st or whatever. Hey, that's great. Max Scherzer's not even playing, and he's getting paid from four different organizations about $75 million this year. I don't care. I'm not going to hear about anybody else like Chase Daniel, the former NFL quarterback. I think he got $41 million over like 9 years, never took a snap, held a clipboard. I mean, that's nice. Bobby Bonilla gets his deferred payments. There's a bunch of guys who get deferred payments. Shohei Ohtani's going to get boatloads of money from the Dodgers after he's done. I don't know that anybody's had the type of year that Max Scherzer is having this year. Mets, Nationals, Rangers, and Blue Jays all pay him, and he's going to make $75 million this year. Unbelievable. Pretty good work if you could get it. Other things that we need to talk about today. Oh, this is the doc that's coming out. I think it's on Madden, right? Or is it on the Raiders? But anyway, that's Christian Bale on the left as Al Davis. And that's Nick Cage on the right. Or it could be reversed for you, but it's my right and left. So Al Davis, that's Christian Bale. Christian Bale as Al Davis. Wow. And that's Nick Cage as John Madden. Don't know that I'm buying Nick Cage as John Madden. Madden was a little bit bigger than that. So I'm not really buying Nick Cage. I mean, I never did, but there you go. I am excited to see Christian Bale as Al Davis, because I think he'll nail it. He's an amazing actor. I'm Batman. I don't know how he's going to pull that off, but that looks like Al Davis right there. Not so much buying Nick Cage, but we'll see. I mean, Nick Cage is a great actor. You know, lots of weird stuff has happened in his life. He doesn't look a whole heck of a lot like John Madden there, but we'll see. I think he needs to get a little bit bigger. But anyway, there's a first look at that. I'm excited for it. I'll give him a chance. I'll be open-minded in that whole thing. I got a feeling that Christian Bale is going to be absolutely amazing, and I'm probably not going to buy Nick Cage as John Madden, but I could be 100% wrong. Other NFL-related news. This was on ESPN yesterday, and they talked about there's a number of receivers, so they talked about who was going to take a step forward amongst that really good class of last year's Malik Nabers, of course. Russell Wilson's going to be throwing them the ball, maybe Jackson Dart. Talked about Marvin Harrison stepping up, all these different things. Brian Thomas Jr. of the Jags is really nice. And then they mentioned Ricky Pearsall, and they said the following. Takes time for rookie 49ers receivers. This is off ESPN. Neither Debo nor Ayuk were overnight sensations. Same should be expected for Pearsall, especially when considering the time he set out because of injury and he got shot. One splashy game against the Lions late last season, but otherwise stayed quiet. I'll say the film shows a high caliber route runner who should excel in this offense once his number finally starts getting called. You know what's interesting about Ricky, and I just double checked it. So he had 31 catches last year for 400 yards and four touchdowns. In the final two games of the season, he had half his production. He had 14 catches for 210 yards and two touchdowns in his final two games. So if you're a Ricky Pearsall believer, and he is a good route runner, he did run a 4.4 40, 4.4 flat, so he's got plenty enough speed. He's got good hands. The reason why they drafted Pearsall in the first round, it wasn't so much because they needed to ensure themselves with Brandon Ayuk leaving, which is mainly the highest held thought on that. That's not true. What is true is they had just gotten beat by Kansas City in the Super Bowl, and they couldn't get off man coverage. Juwan Jennings did, just because he's bigger than everybody else. But Debo Samuel couldn't. Brandon Ayuk kind of could, but not really, because they put their best cover corner on him all day long, and they just said, Debo, go ahead and try to get open, and he couldn't. So what they thought was, we got to get another man beater, and that's what Ricky Pearsall is supposed to be. He is a good route runner. We saw it in training camp, or not training camp. We saw it during the season when he finally did get rehabbed. We saw it in practices. So, look, I maybe I'm in the minority here, but I hold pretty high hopes for Ricky Pearsall just based on the fact that, like I said, he had 14 catches for 210 yards and two touchdowns in his last two games of the year. Now, I say this all the time, and it's a core philosophy of mine. Of course, a professional player had a good game. That's why they got there. The name of the game when it comes to professional sports is consistency. Every once in a while, and then everybody points to that. See, he did it. He did it. He did it. Or she did it. She did it. She did it. They can do it. That doesn't mean they can do it all the time. They got to that level because they're fully capable of being able to do that. I say this all the time. NBA basketball players, if you ever watch them in like a pickup game or something, like a Kevon Looney, right? He's not a big time scorer. He's kind of a garbage man, those kind of things. If Kevon Looney was playing at the, you know, the local Y, which is a totally outdated reference, you know, whatever the case, 24 hour fitness, he'd throw 50 on you. Like, he's that good. You'd just be like, oh my God, how does this guy not score 50 again? Like, they're that good. Of course they can play that way. They're professional athletes, but it comes down to consistency. So I'm almost breaking one of my cardinal rules, which is I saw Ricky Pearsall in the final two games of the year basically have half his yearly production, which leads me to believe that he can be productive because that was as far as he had been away from the shooting and from injuries and all those kind of things, getting on the same page as Brock Purdy. I think he's going to have a really good year. I do. With Jennings, Robinson's not the best. Maybe they bring in – has Gabe Davis signed yet? I know he went to another team after the 49ers. I can't remember where it was. But Gabe Davis has gone to a couple of different teams, so maybe he signs here, maybe he doesn't. But you got George Kittle. Christian McCaffrey's going to be back. And Pearsall's not going to be the focus of other teams. At some point, Ayuk comes back. I'm not saying that he's going to be a 1,500-yard receiver, but it wouldn't surprise me whatsoever if I threw a number on Pearsall that he caught 60 passes this year, twice of what he did last year, 60 passes for, I don't know, 900 yards or 1,000 yards and 7 touchdowns. I mean, that wouldn't surprise me whatsoever. He is that talented. He is that good. He's just got to stay healthy. And he's very confident in what he can do. You've seen him run routes. I mean, like I said, he's a 4-4 flat guy, so he's got plenty enough speed. He's not a burner, but he's fast. He's got great hands. He's a great route runner. He's got everything that you possibly need. And the 49ers drafted him for a specific reason, which was to be a man beater. And he can do those kind of things. So, look, I think a lot of people feel like they're down on him. The guy got shot. The guy didn't have a training camp. So, you know, while some people are down on the pick, I'm not. And I think that he's going to have a nice year. He needs to have a nice year. So, anyway, that was something that ESPN wrote up yesterday. What else do I have today? No Curry, JK's last game, one last stand, Giannis rumors, Cavs LeBron, Pete Rose reaction, Giants win. Congratulations to Christian Kos, grand slam, his first career home run. Pitching depth should be able to get the Giants something, maybe sooner rather than later. NFL schedule release day, we'll be back later today for that. Raiders/Madden doc, Caboose. This is funny. Let me double check one thing real quick because I took somebody's word for this and I don't know that this is going to be the case. So hang on 1 second. Let me just make sure this is accurate because, you know, I want to be accurate and everything. Because this is funny and I'll use this as the Caboose pistol today. Let's see. What did he do? Oh, here we go. Hang on 1 second. Sorry. I know this is taking a minute. I thought it was going to be faster than this. But I just got to double check this before so that I'm accurate. All right. Yeah, it's true. All right. I just wanted to make sure I got the numbers right. That's all. All right. Let me play a sweet, clean, family-friendly Caboose pistol open for you. And then we will do a bit of a Caboose. Now, this is a little different. It is sports related, but still, let's do it.
John Lund Unleashed presents the Caboose pistol.
Wedged in the crack of her buttocks.
Somehow, someway, Lundo thinks this is the best way to leave a final impression on you for the day.
The old Caboose pistol. Everybody has one.
Did you say Caboose pistol?
I know some women who could hide a machine gun in there. Yeah.
Leave me out of this, you weirdo. Here's John.
Actually, I have two. And they're both sports related. They're not maybe traditional Caboose pistols. But this is pretty funny. So I told you last week it was game 7 against Houston, or maybe this was 2 weeks ago. It was game 7 against Houston, and Draymond Green, everybody credits Draymond Green with coming up for the win one with the Gipper speech and all this kind of stuff and blah, blah, blah. And I'm just not a speech guy. I don't think they work. I think you're either motivated or you're not. It's a game 7. Like, I'm just thinking to myself sitting in the locker room and Draymond Green is, or at the hotel or whatever, whenever he said that speech. And I'm like, dude, it's a game 7. Like, I'm not going to say that to him, but it's like, you know, you're just blowing hot air to me. You're Charlie Brown's teacher. Wah, wah, wah. Like, I'm not even listening to what you're saying because it's a game 7. And if I'm not motivated by the fact that my season could end, I'm never going to be motivated. Like, I'm a self-motivated person anyway, but it's like, I don't need somebody to give me a rah-rah speech before game 7. But anyway, Draymond Green was credited with it. So last night, Jared Greenberg, this is before the Pacers and the Cavs game. Last night, and he says that Max Strus sent out a certain text. So let me play this for you, and then I'll give you a little bit more context to this whole thing. Here's Jared Greenberg last night on a text that Max Strus of the Cavaliers sent out to try to fire his team up before they got eliminated by Indiana last night.
Group text message was sent out to every single Cavalier player from Max Strus. Strus said simply, if you don't believe, then don't show up for work. Strus said this morning that he doesn't think this group is done. Thompson telling me that he just wants every single guy to star in their role.
All right. So Max Strus, of all people, the former member of the Miami Heat, is now a member of the Cleveland Cavaliers. So he sends out this fire and brimstone text. If you're not going to show up, don't even show up tonight if we're not going to be ready to play. All right. Thanks, Max Strus. 26 minutes for Max Strus, 0 for 9 from the field, 0 of 6 from 3-point land. He did contribute 7 rebounds, but he was -3 in those 26 minutes and scored 0 points. So you and I scored as many points as Max Strus did last night, sitting on our couches, 0 of 9 from the field, 0 of 6 from 3. Excuse me. So again,
a group text message was sent out to every single Cavalier player from Max Strus. Strus said simply, if you don't believe, then don't show up.
And then he proceeds to go 0 of 9 from the field and 0 of 6 from 3-point land. Nice try, Max Strus. And finally, sweet, clean family friend, the Caboose. So you probably remember this. And there are certain, this was a job that didn't exist 20 years ago, but there are certain people who do an amazing job as social media coordinators. And we had a great one when I was at KMBR. We had this guy named Sam, and Sam was smart enough to get out of radio and to go back to school and become a lawyer. I don't know where he is in that process. It was a couple of years ago, but Sam was brilliant. The guy was from Denver, really smart guy. You probably saw a lot of his stuff. He stopped with KMBR probably 2 years ago. Best social media guy I ever saw. Just during games, we'd sit by him with the 49ers and he would send stuff out. He just had a brilliant mind when it came to this kind of stuff. Was constantly sending out just great content. Anyway, it was really, really good. This is probably the best piece of content that anybody has sent out from any professional team. Maybe I'm wrong. But this was 2 years ago. This was because today is scheduled release day. I thought I would play this today. So the Tennessee Titans, and remember, Tennessee is the home, the number one destination for bachelorette parties. Nashville is. And so what they did was on schedule release day, they went out and mainly talked to women, but there were some men involved as well, and it was pretty funny. And so this is how they did schedule release the Tennessee Titans in 2023. And again, you've probably seen this, but this is one of the best, if not the best, social media piece that a team has put out. And this is back in 2023. And this is how the Titans social media team released their schedule. Again, this was 2 years ago today.
St. Louis Rams.
Oh.
Lightning McQueen.
No.
Oh, that's just the football logo.
The Boston Bobcats. No idea. No idea.
Cowboys. Yeah.
Baltimore.
Baltimore Orioles.
This one is the Red Stallions.
Ah. 49ers,
69ers,
49ers,
Cowboys.
No.
It's a Pirates. From the islands of the Caribbean.
Chester Cheeto.
Tigers. North Carolina Tigers.
Texas. That's the Cowboys. That's the Cowboys. Texas. Got that.
Yeah.
Atlanta.
That's
Florida.
Florida Dolphins.
Oh, Texans?
Eagles!
From?
Pittsburgh?
Who's that? Bulls? Who? Patriots?
That's the Patriots logo.
It actually does not exist.
That is Nashville, Tennessee.
Tennessee Titans.
I mean, that was brilliant. That was absolutely brilliant. That was 2 years ago. And then what has happened since then, and we'll see these, the only reason I play it today is because we're going to see people trying to top that today. Organizations, they're all sitting there. They're around some big mahogany table going, how do we top what the Titans did in 2023? And I don't know if it's possible. So we'll see teams do that kind of stuff. There's been other teams, you know, they try and they attempt. And there's been a few good ones, but nothing's beaten that. I mean, nothing's beaten that. You just take drunk people off the street, basically. I'm sure there's a lot of people who knew it, but, you know, and essentially a lot of those were the bachelorette party types that were day drinking, which is awesome. And anyway, I don't know that anything tops that, but that's scheduled release day for Tennessee in 2023. And I don't know that anybody's going to top that today. They'll try. So watch your social media channels today, but I don't know that anybody is going to top that. So there you go. Let me make sure I didn't miss anything today before I check if we missed anything on the chat line. I don't think we... Oh, by the way, if you missed it, because I did do schedule release, there was the international games. I popped that up there yesterday in case you missed it. So again, schedule release day is today. Those are the international games. I popped those up yesterday. Minnesota playing back-to-back games on international. Of course, Jacksonville wants to be international because nobody cares about them back here in the States. Niners do not get an international game. They did have one in Mexico City a few years ago, and then their last one actually over in Europe was in 2013. So it's been a while for them. So again, NFL schedule release, and as we said, there you go. Today is the day, and we'll find out today. Netflix schedule, all those other schedules, and then the full schedule comes out, and we will pop back on to play the win-loss game. Plus, we'll pop back on for Warriors post-game tonight, so make sure you have those alerts on John Lund Unleashed. Make sure you check that out on YouTube. All right, what else do we have? Anything else today? Yeah, that was amazing. I mean, that was just unbelievable. Yeah, Nashville is a great town. If you haven't been to Nashville, Nutter, man, it's a good time. It is just a good time. Let's see, what else do we have today? Anything else? I mean, that was amazing. What, seriously, calling the Colts and the Cowboys? Just unbelievable. I mean, it's just, you know, it's drunk people. Like I said, most of those people that they showed up there were women that were attending bachelorette parties, and they got them in the middle of the day drinking, which I'm very jealous of. I love, who doesn't love day drinking? You're in bed by like 8 o'clock. It's unbelievable. Let's go. Hello, Antonio. It is great to see you. What up, Jay London fam? Come on, Dubs. Let's get this one. I know it'll be tough, but show and do your job. Like I said, if we're sitting here tomorrow and they win this thing and Steph can come back for game six, this thing can flip in a big time hurry. I don't expect it, but I'm just saying. And by the way, if you're really confident in the Warriors, I looked this up last night, 16-1 are the odds that they come back. I did not check it this morning, but as of last night, you could put down $100 and win 1600. So, or 1500, I guess, or whatever. So anyway, yeah, throw that out there. Let's see what, yeah, 1600. What am I thinking? So absolutely. So do that. Yeah. Give that a shot. I'm not saying that you should. I did just for fun. You like to have a couple of bucks on it. Do I think it's going to happen? No, but you know what? I'd like to win a few extra bucks. Yes, I would. So there you go. All right. Anything else we missed today? If I did not say hello to you this morning, I apologize for that. Did not miss any, nope, just other than Nathan. Thank you for donating to the show today. We really appreciate it. And again, if you want to get your thoughts up on the screen, guaranteed in the future. You can always do those super stickers and supers. That would be greatly appreciated. Anything else that we have? Let's see. In terms of Pete Rose, it is always good to talk to you, Kenny. Entertainment business. And so when and if baseball players use the juice, to look, football players are on the juice, WWF. Exactly. Look, I was covering the league back then, and I knew that they were using, and Bob Nightingale knew that they were using, and everybody knew that they were using, and the commissioner of the league was at the time was put into the Hall of Fame, even though he oversaw the whole thing. And then in terms of gambling, you're taking billions and billions and millions and billions from FanDuel and all these different places. And now you're like, if Bob Nightingale has the audacity to write something about how Pete Rose is tarnishing the game somehow, and there's going to be a floodgates open up because of this. What? Holy hypocrisy, Batman. Anyway, whatever. There's somebody who says they're going to pull it off tonight. Look at that. All right. You will get full credit tomorrow, James. They're going to pull this off and win tonight. If they do that, I'm going to give you full credit. You're going to be the first one that I say you had it. Maybe other people did, but I'm just perusing through hundreds of these. And so I'm just saying, I'm going to just say that you did. You were the first one. Good to see you. You are 100% correct. Are you Swedish? I'm kind of a mutt, to be completely honest with you, as you can tell. But Lund is a Scandinavian name, so you're in the ballpark there. Let's see, what else do we have? Oh, wow. It is. Look at that. It's always great to talk to you. Why isn't this popping up there? Kaminga is like Monte Ellis. He'll be a star with the Wizards. Yeah, it'll be somebody like that. Or whomever can give them a big. I'm not sure it's going to be the Wiz, but you get the idea. Let's see. Anything else today, or else we'll make it a wrap. And then, like I said, I'll be back for the schedule release. I'll be back for Warriors postgame. So we're going to be busy today. This isn't going to be the only time you'll see me, unfortunately, today. Let's see. Going to watch Hicks today. Say a prayer for me. Hopefully I won't be wishing Birdsong to start. You're going to the game? Very cool, man. Very cool. God, day baseball is the best, isn't it? Unbelievable. I don't go to IKEA. I do not go to IKEA. We're working on some things back here. The background will be fixed soon. But when I was young, you know, when you're in college, you got to go to IKEA and buy all that kind of stuff. And then you got to put it together by yourself. I used to be able to do that. I can't do that particle board stuff anymore. It gets frustrating. You want to throw it out the window. It drives me crazy. I'm just dangerous enough. Like, I can do a few things around the house. The older I get, the less tolerant I am to do things. Because you know what? You don't have much time left on this earth. Do you really want to use it, putting together IKEA particle board? I don't. Let's see here. What else do we have today? anything else today? All right. That'll do us for a Wednesday edition of the program. Thank you again. John Lund Unleashed on YouTube. Please make sure you know this. Subscribe. Keep those alerts on. Give us a like before you get out of here, which helps the algorithm. We will be back for the schedule release later on today. We'll be back for the post-game show for the Warriors tonight. So make sure that you get those alerts on. John Lund Unleashed on YouTube. So if you're watching on X, well, I very much appreciate that at John Lund Radio. Or you can put comments and thoughts and all those kind of things. But please migrate over and give us a like and say hello and join the community. That would be great. So you do that and get those alerts on. Do the same thing at the Bay Area Sports Collective on YouTube. That would be great. Thanks today for watching on X, on Facebook, on LinkedIn, all those kind of places, on Twitch. Really appreciate it. If you would migrate over, that would be tremendous on John Lund Unleashed. Like I said, we'll be back for the schedule release of the NFL. We'll be back as well. So get those alerts on for the Warriors postgame show. Any questions, comments, thoughts, you don't have to agree with me. We'll see you in the comments section, or you can hit me up at John Lund Radio. All right, everybody have a great rest of your Wednesday, and we'll talk to you a couple of more times throughout the day. Thanks as always.
Thanks for hanging out with John Lund Unleashed. We'll try to be better next time, though I wouldn't hold my breath. Please like and subscribe on the John Lund Unleashed Pod YouTube channel. Watch live shows weekdays at 8 a.m. on YouTube, Instagram, and X. And make sure to have your alerts on for shows throughout the day or night. All things Lund can be found at johnlundunleashed.com. johnlundunleashed.com.
Goodbye!